प्रेमास्त्रियो वान शरीर व्यभिचार अधुष्टा कृष्णे कैश्चैषा परमात्मनि रूढ भावा नान्वीश्वरो नु भजतो बुद्धसु पसक्षात् श्रेयास्तनो याद रजा एवो भयुक्ता Uddhava saying, among all persons on earth, these cowherd women alone have actually perfected their embodied lives, for they have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Lord Govinda. Their pure love is hankered after by those who fear material existence, by great sages, and by ourselves as well. For one who has tasted the narrations of the infinite Lord, what is the use of taking birth as a high-class Brahman, or even as Lord Brahma himself? How amazing it is that these simple women who wander about the forest, seemingly spoiled by improper behavior, have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Still, it is true that the Supreme Lord himself awards his blessings even to an ignorant worshiper, just as the medicine, the best medicine, works even when taken by a person ignorant of its ingredients. Purport. The use of the word kva in the first two lines indicate a sharp contrast between apparently incompatible items. In this case, the apparently insignificant and even impure position of the gopis mentioned in the first line and their attainment of the highest perfection of life mentioned in the second. In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti describes three types of adulterous women. The first is a woman who enjoys both her husband and a lover, being faithful to neither. Both ordinary society and the scriptures condemn this conduct. The second type of adulterous woman is she who abandons her husband to enjoy only with her lover. Society and the scriptures also condemn this behavior, although such a fallen woman may be said to at least have the good quality of dedicating herself to a single man. The last kind of adulterous woman is she who abandons her husband and enjoys in the attitude of being a lover of the Supreme Lord alone. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that although foolish common people criticize this position, such behavior is commended by those who are wise in spiritual science. Therefore, learned members of society and the revealed scriptures praise such single-minded devotion to the Lord. Such was the gopis' behavior. Thus, the term vyabhichara dushta, corrupted by deviation, indicates the apparent resemblance between the gopis' behavior and that of ordinary adulterous women. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Venamaha Bansha Kalpata Rubyas Chakripa Sindhubya Eva Cha Pratithanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunathanam Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashri Gaura Bhaktavinda
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare.
How amazing it is that these simple women who wander about the forest, seemingly spoiled by improper behavior, have achieved the perfection of unalloyed love for Krishna, the Supreme Soul. Still, it is true that the Supreme Lord himself awards his blessings even to an ignorant worshiper, just as the best medicine works even when taken by a person ignorant of its ingredients. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 47th chapter of 10th canto, in which Uddhava has just witnessed the unsurpassable love of the gopis of Vrindavan. Uddhava came to Vrindavan thinking that he would deliver a message by Krishna and benefit the Brijbasis by pacifying their ecstatic feelings of separation from the Lord. And upon greeting Uddhava, the gopis actually chastised him. And Uddhava, we must understand, is a royal prince. He's of the kingly order. He is coming from Mathura. And naturally, the gopis, being simple, not very well educated cowherd girls, to be with such an aristocratic, sophisticated, and opulent person was a bit uncomfortable, especially to reveal their minds in confidence about their feelings toward Krishna, who he was the messenger of. Therefore, Srimati Radharani, Vrindavaneshwari, the leader of all the gopis, when she saw this bumblebee, who was black in complexion, she immediately remembered Krishna. In fact, there are some acharyas who claim that that bumblebee was Krishna who appeared that form. But in any case, she was revealing her mind to Uddhava without directly chastising him. That, oh, bumblebee, you are black like Krishna. But actually, Uddhava also resembled Krishna, almost identical. He had a blackish complexion. And Krishna even gave Uddhava his own clothes to wear so that the gopis would know that he was truly his representative. So Radharani says, oh, bumblebee, you are black. You must be a messenger of Krishna. Do you know what this Krishna has done to us? Do you know how untrue he is to us? And she began in ecstatic love to chastise the bumblebee. But in doing so, she revealed the highest limits of ecstatic love of Krishna. It is called the Brahmar Gita. In fact, in all the Vedas, in all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the highest of all, especially because it describes the five chapters of the Raslila, and it describes the ecstasy of Sri Radharani's love as she spoke to this bumblebee. In all the Vedic scriptures, we do not find such intimate and high platform of love revealed as in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nowhere else in any shastra does Srimati Radharani reveal her own mind so confidentially. And Uddhava, upon hearing this, realized that I thought that I was such an advanced devotee. Krishna calls me his best friend. I sit with Krishna, I eat with Krishna, I sleep with Krishna, I joke with Krishna, play with Krishna. These gopis of Vrindavan, Krishna left them. They are always weeping and crying in separation from him. But Uddhava was thinking, there was no one who was so intimately united with Krishna as them. What is their social position? They are not Brahmins. They are not even men. Usually we find in most religious societies that men try to keep a predominant position over women. Sometimes, not only in Hindu society, but in Jewish society, Christian society, Buddhist society, all religious societies, traditionally, women are in the back. And we also find how generally it is the men who are the priests, and the men who are the Brahmins, and the men who give the initiations and the talks. The gopis are women. They're not educated women. In Vrindavan, they didn't have high schools and universities. You do not read about that. Nanda Maharaj's academy for higher studies. No such thing. Vrindavan, all they do is from when you're a little baby, you help your mother turn the butter, and when you're a grown lady, you turn the butter yourself. You learn how to milk the cows. You learn how to work the oxen. No schools. Everyone was just educated in the simple necessities of life. In those days, the Kshatriyas were highly educated in the Kshatriya sciences. The Brahmins were highly educated in Brahminical sciences. And the Vaishyas, they just learned how to work nicely. But they all did everything for Krishna. And Uddhava, he was a very, very highly educated, intelligent, wise man, thoroughly trained in all sciences. And when he saw these simple ladies, the nature of their love of Krishna, the nature of their devotion, he realized that they are the supreme worshipable beings. They were not even following the standards of social morality. Here Uddhava is remarking. The gopis were completely unsophisticated. It explains this in Bhagavatam. They were so simple. But they loved Krishna. They were always thinking of Krishna. Whatever they did it for Krishna. And Uddhava realized this is the ultimate wealth and ultimate attainment in life. After Uddhava experienced the love of Sri Radhika and the gopis, what was his desire in life? Uddhava was a prince. He had enormous wealth. And he was so highly esteemed and sophisticated. In all of Mathura and in all of Dwarka, he was considered the most important person under Krishna and Balaram because he was their best friend. And yet, he went to Govardhan Hill, a place that is now called Uddhava Kund, and he performed years and years of tapasya to give up his high sophisticated position, to give up his enormous wealth, to give up his enormous influence over the society, his young, beautiful body, because he wanted to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan, so that the gopis would step on his head with their lotus feet. Because he knew that in his sophisticated position, he would not be able to get the dust of the feet of the gopis because they would be too embarrassed. But if he took birth as a blade of grass, then they would freely step upon him. And that will be the perfection of my life. I cannot become a gopi. Uddhava was not thinking he could ever attain the position of a gopi. But if I can be the servant of the gopi by just being a soft blade of grass to make their feet nice and comfortable when they walk on me, that will be the perfection of my life. Bhakti is based on the principles of utter simplicity. The rules and regulations that we follow in Krishna consciousness is meant to purify our hearts. But when the heart is pure, it becomes, by the grace of the Lord, like the residents of Vrindavan. The Brijvasis, they don't care for any rules or regulations. They only care for Krishna. Huh? Of course, if we artificially try to imitate and give up rules and regulations, then we will simply incur sinful activities and bad karma. Therefore, we must be very strict in order to keep our consciousness fixed in Krishna. But when the heart is pure and we attain that state of love, love is beyond all justice. Ultimately, it is not our following of rules and regulations that can liberate us from material existence. It is only the mercy of Krishna. The mercy of Krishna is the free, unalloyed will of Krishna descending into this world. And we cannot, with our material intelligence, calculate the infinite mercy of God. But we must try to attract that infinite mercy of God by learning how to be a proper servant of the servant of the servant. Bhagavad Gita teaches very, very specific principles of how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, step by step explains from the very beginning stages of associating with proper sadhus, we could learn how to follow the principles of devotional service by chanting regularly, by hearing Bhagavad Katha regularly, by living a very pure and moral life, by rendering seva according to our capacity. Rupa Goswami explains, through this process we purify our hearts. But for what purpose? Of attracting Krishna's mercy. And it is that mercy which is coming through his pure representatives, which is coming through the advanced devotees of the Lord, that give us entrance into the sphere of transcendental consciousness by which spontaneous love awakens from within us. Uddhava, he was so much impressed by the residents of Vrindavan that he wanted to glorify them. But they would not accept his glorification. Because try to understand, the residents of Vrindavan never thought themselves exalted in any way. They were the most humble. Although they were in the highest position, worshipable even by Brahma and Shiva, they considered themselves the most insignificant. At one time, before meeting the gopis, Uddhava met with Nanda and Yashoda, and he saw how, with tears of love streaming from their eyes, they couldn't stop thinking and talking about Krishna. And Uddhava said to Nanda Maharaj, "You are the most fortunate. You have attained the greatest wealth of love of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And Nanda Maharaj chastised Uddhava. "What nonsense you're speaking. You are calling me fortunate? You are such an immature, uneducated, unexperienced young boy that you don't know anything about what good fortune is." Because Uddhava was same age as Krishna, so Nanda was treating him like a son, a friend of son. "You say we are fortunate. I say I am the most unfortunate. If a man has the most valuable rare jewel, but does not understand its value and neglects it and then loses it, is that person fortunate? Better that person never had such a jewel. He is the most unfortunate. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as my son. But I didn't know he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I thought he was just an ordinary boy. And I neglected him. And I mistreated him in so many ways. And now he's left me. He's gone. And what do I have in my life? Only the pangs of separation and regret in my heart. In this way, Nanda Maharaj, thinking himself so humble, and we read the prayers of the gopis, they are saying to Uddhava that Krishna, now he's in Mathura, there are so many very beautiful, sophisticated ladies there who know how to do everything very properly. We are sure now they are enjoying the company of Krishna. And who are we compared to them? They are aristocratic. They are from the royal order. We are so insignificant. We feel that now that Krishna is with them, he will never come back to us, to this little cowherd community of Brajbhumi. The Brajbasis exhibited the supremest opulence of humility in their simplicity. And therefore, they were the most dear to Krishna. Not only did they have no Aishwarya or opulence, but they didn't see it in Krishna. The residents of Mathura, the residents of Dwarka, the residents of Vaikuntha, they understood the supreme power and greatness of Krishna as God. But the Brijbasis, they had no capacity to think of Krishna as God. They were too simple, too humble. How could they think that they could approach God? They were thinking approaching God is for the great saints, for the learned Brahmins. We're just gopas, gopis. We love Krishna because he's the best gopi, the best gopa. That's all. He's Gopinath. He's not God. God means Jagannath. God means Jagannath, the Lord of the universe. But as far as we're concerned, he's Gopinath. He's just Lord of Gopis. But what kind of Lord? The kind of Lord we can dance with. The kind of Lord we can chastise. The simple love of the Brijabasis was a love of intimate affection. They were so humble, the Brijabasis, that if they thought Krishna was God, they would feel unqualified even to approach him. So Krishna simply revealed himself as the most intimate friend and lover. In spiritual society, to the degree we humble ourselves, to the degree the Supreme Personality of Godhead awards us higher and higher realizations of the Supreme Truth. Uddhava, upon seeing the nature of the gopis' love, he became completely humbled. This is such a wonderful, wonderful manifestation of divine instruction. By seeing the nature and the simplicity of the love of the gopis, Uddhava considered himself to be insignificant. Krishna tells Uddhava that even Brahma, Shiva, Balaram, and Lakshmi are not as dear to me as you. And yet, Uddhava is feeling himself so humbled by seeing the simple love of the gopis that he wanted to become a blade of grass to receive the dust
from their lotus feet.
This is Krishna consciousness. This is what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give to the world. This intimate form of love. And although there are many religions, and each religion is in its pure sense truly revealing the word of God, in every great religion of the world, we find the worship of God as the supreme controller, the supreme Lord and Master, the creator, maintainer, and annihilator. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give a system of religion which surpasses all others. Because in the ecstasy of the love that he is giving, we become so intoxicated by that ecstatic feeling of devotion that we forget that Krishna is even God. According to the Brijbasis, we can understand that to love Krishna because he's God is a condition. Because he's the supporter, he's the provider, and he's the controller of everything, I will love him. That is a condition. Of course, we must first attain such a state of love. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us how to excel that into truly unconditional love. Mother Yashoda was not thinking Krishna is God. She was far beyond that realization. That realization is included in her love, but forgotten. It's not that the Brijbasis did not have Brahman realization, Paramatma realization, or Bhagavan realization like that of the Vaikuntha devotees. All those forms of realization are included. They have already understood Krishna as the supreme God and controller and surrendered their lives to him. But the sweetness of their love was so deep that they simply forgot all these lesser ideas of God. And Mother Yashoda was thinking, if I do not feed Krishna, he will die. If I do not bind Krishna with ropes, tie him around his waist, Dhamma Bandhana, Damodar, then he will hurt himself. If I do not make butter very, very tasty, then Krishna will be dissatisfied with my butter and he will go and break into other gopis' houses to steal their butter. This was her love. And the friends, the gopas, how they loved to be with Krishna. The sakas, they would just play with him. They would do everything and anything just to have fun with Krishna. Just like these children, they are roaming, running around, coming in of class, out of class. They are not philosophers. The friends of Krishna were this age. They were restless. They would jump on Krishna, wrestle with Krishna. There is a place in Chatikar called the Govind Garuda Mandir, very famous temple, where Sridhama was with Krishna, and Sridhama is the one that defeats Krishna in wrestling so much. In fact, one time, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, they started laughing at Krishna, that you call yourself the king of Braja, but we know that Sridhama defeats you in wrestling all the time. And Krishna said, no, he never defeats me. I always win. But we have heard so many stories how he defeats you in wrestling. No, how can that be true? So the gopis said, well, we want just to test, to see what kind of wrestler you are. We will bring our best wrestler to fight against you. So they brought Sri Radharani and dressed her as a wrestler. And they started wrestling. And as they were wrestling, if the way the game goes, that if you get your opponent's back to touch the ground, then you win. Huh? That's how the gopas would wrestle. If the other person, if you can get their back to touch the ground, then they lose and you win. So Radharani with Krishna, in a very gentle and graceful way, they started wrestling, and Radharani brought Krishna to the ground and put his back on the ground. And all the gopis said, "Ah, Krishna, you have lost. You have, Radharani has put your back to the ground." And he said, "No, no." He was laying there with his back ground. He said, "No, no, I have won. Because Radharani's nose is facing to the ground. Therefore, I have won." This is the supreme absolute truth. So anyways, Sri Dama, one day, he took the form of Garuda, and Krishna jumped on his back, and they started roaming around Vrindavan in this way. And the real Garuda, hearing about this story, he appeared in Vrindavan to see this wonderful pastime. So in this way, so many wonderful pastimes of love. So intoxicated, just because he's Krishna, we love him. No condition. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Krishna in his full opulence, and Jagannath Misha also would sometimes chastise him because he was very mischievous, as Krishna in Gokula was mischievous. So one day a Brahmin appeared in a dream to Jagannath Mishra and said, "Do you not know that your son is the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, the master of all creation? You should not chastise him and punish him like this." Jagannath Mishra replied that whether he's God or not God, I don't care. All I know is he's my son and I must teach him how to be a nice boy. So Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has especially come as the most munificent of all avatars, because so freely he's giving entrance into this highest expression of devotion to the Supreme Absolute Truth. And he's given such a simple and wonderful process by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. By simply learning how to, in a very simple and humble frame of mind, how to render service, how to associate with devotees, how to take great pleasure and interest in the subject of Krishna's philosophy and his pastimes, and ultimately how to come together to chant and dance to the kirtan of the holy name. This is all that is required to transcend all stages of material ego and enter into the divine loving service of Vrindavan, of the spiritual world. So we must very seriously take advantage of the infinite gift that Mahaprabhu has given. We must take very seriously the wonderful instruction of Uddhava and follow in his footsteps. How to follow in the footsteps of Uddhava? Whoever we are, whatever we have, don't be proud. Just aspire for one position. just to be at the feet of the great devotees of the Lord. This we can learn from Uddhava. We should not think ourselves proud because of any designation we may have. High birth, beautiful, strong, healthy body, great material opulence and prestige. Uddhava had all these things, but he didn't care for anything except being at the feet of the devotees of the Lord. If we want to enter into Vrindavan, we have to follow in the footsteps of Uddhava. We have to simply aspire to always be at the feet of the Lord's great devotees and honor and worship them. And in this way, we can also gain entrance into the spiritual world. Are there any questions?
Seeing this pastime of gopis, and such a high simplicity they had it, well, I faced this problem that we, being in material life, whatever activities we might be doing it, we might be doing some business or we might be doing some small profession, and we feel it that we are doing such a great services for Krishna. But sometimes in our process of doing some business or profession, it so happens that we don't think of Krishna at that time. We just forget Krishna, we don't think of our service attitude. So after seeing gopis in a such a high standard, they are doing very simple things. And after doing those simple things, they were thinking of Krishna. And we feel it that we are doing such a big business or maybe doing some big profession or something, and we have forgot the consciousness of Krishna. Is it so that that is not going to be, Krishna would not be liking that thing and he will not accept it altogether, although we feel it that we are doing the services for Krishna?
By hearing these beautiful narrations, things become clear. Although still, our egoistic propensities continue. But by hearing the words of pure devotional service, descriptions of pure devotional service, we can understand what a diseased condition we are in. And we can strive to purify ourselves from those diseases. It's not that when you first start taking medicine that you are immediately in a perfectly healthy condition. But if you do not understand you are sick, you will not take the medicine. So by hearing about pure devotional service, we understand what our real position is. And this is important, because sometimes we make a little advancement and we think we're so great. But when we read about the caliber of these devotees, we understand that we're really not great at all. So this encourages us to strive to humble ourselves, to strive to purify ourselves. And actually, we cannot imitate the gopis of Vrindavan. They are too advanced. But we can follow in their footsteps by becoming the servant of the servant of the servant of the great devotees of the Lord. And by just learning under their direction how to render service, gradually Krishna's mercy provides what is required to give us these realizations. These realizations can only come by Krishna's grace. It cannot come by our endeavor. If we honestly and sincerely strive to please the Vaishnavas and please Krishna, then that grace will carry us beyond all of our shortcomings. And we require association with people in the renounced order of life. When we see how people can live such a simple life, giving up absolutely everything just to chant Hare Krishna and serve Krishna, it's very important for grihasthas to have this type of association. Because grihasthas by nature become caught up in all of their activities and become very proud of their accomplishments. But when they learn how to properly respect people in the renounced order, it neutralizes the effects. Because what accomplishment does the renunciates have? They don't have anything material. But they have something else. They have a life in complete simplicity and dedication to Krishna. And we find the greatest kings, they bow down to such persons who have such a simple life of devotion. So, this is the Vedic system, that such grihasthas that you're talking about should seek out genuine, sincere, and pure devotees in the renounced order who live so simple, who live with nothing, no prestige, no wealth, so simple, only Krishna, only Seva. And by that association, we begin to strive for that internally. Externally, we perform our duties, but internally we begin to strive. We understand this person really has the wealth. Oh, my wealth? The cause of anxiety? This person has the real wealth. Huh? We see, Krishna, he considered, when he was Dwarkadish, the king of Dwarka, that Sudama Vipra, he had the real wealth. We see that Dasarath, he bowed his head before Vishwamitra, he had nothing. Again and again we find Maharaj Nimi, when the 9 Yogendras came, they didn't even have clothes. Maharaj Parikshit, the king of the whole world, he approached Shukadeva Goswami, who didn't even have, what to speak of possessions, he didn't even have clothes. But Maharaj Parikshit approached him, give me wealth. Kindly give me the real treasure of life. Maharaj Prataparudra, Lord Chaitanya was living as a sannyasi. He had no possessions except a begging bowl, a water pot, and a danda. And even his danda was taken away by Nityananda Prabhu. He had nothing. He had no home. He had no property. Kashi Mishra said, you can stay in my room. But it wasn't his. It was Kashi Mishra's room, Gambira. What did Mahaprabhu have? He had nothing. And King Prataparudra was willing to give up his whole kingdom just to have a few moments' association with Mahaprabhu. This is the Vedic culture. What is real wealth? So when grihasthas learn to put on a pedestal the wealth of the renunciates, how simple they are and how dedicated they are in the loving service of the Lord, how humble they are, then grihasthas, by having that association and aspiring internally to be affected by that, they will never be in danger. They will very perfectly progress in Krishna consciousness. So that is important. What is most important is those in the renounced order of life actually have to be so simple and have to be so humble. Otherwise, no sane grihastha is going to see them and try to get inspiration and encouragement from them. They will see them as cheaters. They can't see them as lazy. They have to see them as truly people who are working harder than me, expecting nothing in return, eating some chapati, sleeping on the floor, but they're working so hard. Why? And they're so humble. They don't expect anything. They just want to serve. They just love Krishna so much. They love Gurudev so much. That is the responsibility of the brahmacharis and sannyasis, to be of that caliber, to give that hope and that wealth to the whole of society as a service. Hari Bol, thank you very much.